Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're talking to Greg Stotesbury from AFCO and fly fishing legend Michael Maloney. He quaps. But he is. We know that,
legend's
right?
Legend's a good word.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Indeed. Having a good time and giving away a great prize here.
Well, you're not kidding, man. If you didn't catch that at the beginning of the show, such an awesome prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. And again, we thank so much AFCO for giving such a generous donation. AFCO brand new Socorro belt and the AFCO Max Force harness, courtesy of AFCO. Pete, I know you share the same thought that I do, that it's just a perfect big fish belt and harness. Socorro is a very comfortable belt. It's wide, it distributes a lot of pressure on your legs where you want it, but it's not so big that when you're in the belt and harness, you got the full penguin walk going on. It's comfortable, easy to walk around with, which keeps you in it more often, which means you're going to have it when you hook your big fish. That Max Force harness, again, super comfortable. That synthetic terry cloth in the back, it stays put. It doesn't ride up on you like other belts and harnesses do. It's easy to put on, and it's very easy to adjust
super
to
light.
You. They're just, it's a perfect outfit for a guy going on a long-range trip or fighting a big fish from his private boat, a really cool outfit. So, again, if you want to get your shot at winning that great prize or, much more importantly, your chance to talk to these two guys, great information going on today, 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. Or you can reach us on our toll-free line. That one's 877-792-1090.
All right, let's jump into that catch report.
You got it, man. Today it's sponsored in part by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company, where they only make products that work. If you want to end connection failures, you need that Sato Crimp Kit. It's a must-have piece of gear for your next trip to help you catch everything from school-sized tuna to record-sized tuna. And with all brass crimps and other features, it's better than ever. It's the favorite connection method on the Royal Star, the Royal Polaris, the American Angler, and most of the other top boats. And if you haven't already, you should make it your preferred connection for Spectra to Mono or to Fluorocarbon. You can get it at selected tackle stores like Fisherman's Landing Tackle or at SatoCrimpAndWinder.com. And let's start off the catch report with our private boater buddy, the man, our FishDope.com reporter, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Greg, Michael. Well, you know, I took a little vacation, and it was warm and balmy when we left, and then I come back to this wintertime stuff. What a shock, man. You know, regardless of the cool weather and dropping water temperatures, there's still a lot to do offshore. Now, about that marlin fishing up to the west there, it's been nothing short of epic this season. That huge spot that's been up farther west around Santa Cruz and Anacap and even more out in the weather where guys couldn't get to it. It's on the move. It's moving down and out. And both last weekend, which was just unbelievable fishing for a number of guys, and in the last couple days, that better fishing's kind of been around the 17 and then on down to the Kidney Bank, just above Santa Barbara Island, below that. And there's another area that's kind of on the bait grounds right off the east end of Catalina, and they're really tight. And then there's been a little bit of fish in Cat Canyon also. But, you know, the surface waters are definitely cooling with the wind, and we got a big wind coming here tomorrow night. But the thermocline is deep, and that bodes well for our marlin season lasting at least through this month, I would think, and possibly longer. And then, as a little historical sidebar, the best single-season score that I'm aware of has been 106 marlin on the ELAD back in the late 60s, and I'm thinking that's got another record that's going to be broken, man. There's
could be by Greg's brother
already. Unbelievable. And then as far as those tuna fish go, pretty much over on the inside, on the outside, still some options. You know, there's a little break in the weather right now, but again, that wind's coming up tomorrow night. It's going to be ugly. But there's a number of boats out on the Cortez and Tanner right now. Bit a little last weekend for both the yellowfin and a handful of bluefin. So we'll see if there's a rebite there. Hopefully so. And then inside Clemente, guys, be sure you keep an eye on them dolphin schools. Some of that's holding a little bit of that nicer grade yellowfin tuna. And then as far as those yellowtails, you know, they're mounting up. They're setting up shop just like last couple seasons in that 20 to 40 fathom zone from Santa Monica Bay, the hard bomb spots that are on the outside, Rocky Point, the 150, Box Canyon. It's all seeing some good improvement in terms of volume of fish. They're not biting all that much, but they're definitely around. And interestingly enough, you know, I was in Cancun last week. I had a chance to fish one day fishing amberjacks, which are very much like our yellowtail on steroids. I mean, those things, oh, my God, those things pull hard. But I learned some very interesting stuff that I think is going to apply to our yellowtail fishery. Can't wait to try some of it. But I'll write it up for my column here for Bloody Dex next when I do the next one. And then as far as those wahoos, I couldn't begin to do that report, Ricky. I'm going to have to turn that over to you. Congratulations on your catch there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, that fish is certainly still around. And like you said, the right weather opportunities come. And I'm done saying that this is going to be the last one, that, you know, because this will be the third, you know, very cold wind event that we've had in as many weeks. And every time we've said the same thing. Well, this is probably it. This is going to do us in. And it blows for two or three days, and it's cold, and we all think the same thing. And then we go right back to consistent weather for a couple of days. And the second the weather shapes up, that fish is still out and biting. So we're just going to keep fishing them until they don't want to bite anymore, because it's definitely still around. And all that lower sector, 9 mile bank, and all the high spots around that have warm pockets of water on them, you troll a big jet or a marauder, there's a very good chance that one of those things is going to climb on.
Take a look at fishdope.com, and they've got all the stuff and all the information for you right there. Right, Mark?
It just goes on, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, I was talking to one of our customers, and his friend was out around the rig Wednesday right after that wind backed off. He didn't catch him, but he saw a school, like six or seven wahoos swim right by his boat. So they're still around.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Pretty
and like I say, you can stay in track of all this information at fishdope.com. You want to save $20 on a new membership to fishdope.com. Hook up now, lowercase, no space, hook up now, year-round, 365 days a year. You can get that information, find out where the fish are biting from Mark Wish and others. And how do we find you, Mark?
Pete, we're back in the store, corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach there. Phone number is 714-840-4262. The website, Pacific Edge Tackle, that'll have pictures of Ricky's brand-new bait tank that he probably doesn't even need since he's doing so good without it.
Oh, great. We'll have to check that out. Hey, thanks a lot for that, Mark, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
Okay, you got it.
See you, Mark.
You guys.
All right, now let's head on down to San Diego over to C4th Sport Fishing and talk to our great buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on there at C4th?
Good morning. Well, like you were saying there, a little colder in the mornings the last couple weeks here. Definitely cooled off a bit, and everyone that's complaining about it being too hot is now complaining about it being too cold. So you just can't win with, you know, any great weather here. But overall, fishing slowed down a little bit on the half day. Still very good bottom fishing on there, rockfish, sheephead, lingcod, you know, a little bit of bass mixed in there here and there. So about what you'd expect for the middle of November, but still very good fishing there, running just about every day. The three-quarter day trip, San Diego, fishing down at the Coronado Islands, still picking away at those yellowtail, bonita, a couple halibut. Thursday they had another wahoo. So, but you're seeing, you know, counting the 30s and 70s on those yellowtail, you know, 30 to 50 bonita. So, again, I mean, what more can you ask for in the middle of November here? So I'm supposed to have a little weather coming through here. After that, things should be back to normal. So if you got family coming in for the holidays there, you want to take them fishing or just, you know, get away from the family, definitely check the website, c4thlanding.com. We have our full schedule up there for the half days, the three-quarter days. The Tribute is still running those day-and-a-half trips on the weekends here. And he actually had a pretty good count over the last weekend there. He caught 4 bluefin, 49 yellowfin, 20 skipjack, 196 yellowtail, and 30 bonitos. So great day-and-a-half fishing at this point there. And, again, you can make your reservations directly online there, do everything there, or you can just call at the office, 619-224-3383, and we're still running full speed and ready to get you guys out there.
All right. Hey, that sounds really, really good. And still, don't put the rods away. We always say
absolutely
this time
not.
Of the year, and it's so true this year. Thanks a lot, Marcos, and we will talk to you next Saturday. Who knows
we'll
what
talk to you then, guys.
I just can't get over that Booger is having counts like that every day. I mean, unbelievable yellowtail fishing every day, and we've just had such a crazy season that you just kind of – I mean, if that were any other time, it would be making headlines. 50 a day, 70 a day, 90 a day, day after day after day of great yellowtail fishing. I mean, it is still absolutely in full swing right now.
You bet.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
You better call Marcos.
Give us a call.
All right.
Thanks
Marcos. Bye. Appreciate that. Talk to you next week.
Again, that's going to wrap up our catch report, sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your true one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing. They have a complete saltwater tackle store. They have a full deli. They offer trips and six-pack charters, including that beautiful new Blackjack, a perfect four-boat. four-pack boat. It's a brand-new lure.
That's so awesome.
That's an awesome ride. And, again, talk about a perfect opportunity to go fishing on a boat like that right now. The season is... it's not over, but just the number of people certainly has. And here's your opportunity to jump on that boat, go down to the Coronado Islands, get in on that great yellowtail fishing. Who knows, maybe get lucky just like Marcos was saying and catch one of those wahoo like Captain Ryan Boston was doing. Also, don't forget about their great freshwater tackle store in East County Bait and Tackle. It's full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day in the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Longchamp in Mission Bay, or East County Bait and Tackle. It's at the end of the 67 Freeway at Maple View and Lakeside. Check out danalanding.com for more info.
Let's go ahead and jump back into the phones, Rick.
You got it. They're packed up. We're going to talk to Rudy. He's calling us from Carlsbad this morning. Rudy, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rudy.
Good morning, gentlemen. What I'd like to know is weight rod and line to use if you decide to go surf fishing with a fly rod.
Michael?
Rudy, I would suggest an 8 weight rod, and you might as well get a 9-foot rod, which is pretty much standard and easy to come by, and you can get anywhere from a 300 to 350 grain sinking line, and you're set and ready to go.
And it's relatively easy thing to do, and you can catch a lot of fish on the fly. What about a stripping basket?
Stripping baskets are great because if you're in the surf, it just makes good sense. So find the stripping basket. There's a number of models out there that fit you, and it's kind of mandatory. In fact, just quickly offshoot, I use it even in the Keys for wind management, which I'd never thought about it because somebody's always handling your line. So you can use it for a whole bunch of types of fishing.
There are several fly shops that teach fly fishing. I know you're in Carlsbad right there in Solana Beach. You get Blue Water Tackle and San Diego Fly Shop. I believe they teach that. Also, you can learn from Conway
yes.
on the kayak at Fast Lane too. So there's a little technique to it, but not much. And then you'll be ready.
Hey, Rudy, you fly fish at all for trout at all?
Oh, for trout, yes.
Well, you know, do me a favor, will you? When you think about it, I want you to look up a thing called a Belgian cast or oval cast. And, you know, whether you've got a 24-size fly or a marlin, it's a tension cast. And just bring it on either up on YouTube or online, and you'll find that you can use that virtually for anything, especially weighted flies. If you try and pause at the back of a cast or the front of a cast, it creates havoc with your weighted fly. So Belgian cast or oval cast, it'll make it life easy for you.
Yeah. Well,
that's good dope right there.
That's really good. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that one up, maybe get a lesson after the show. Thanks a lot for the call, Rudy. Appreciate that.
Bob in Newport, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, guys.
How we doing, Bob?
Great, thank you.
Good morning, Bob.
I have a question for both Michael and a question for Greg. It's nice to hear old friends on the radio. Not only old friends, but legends, no less.
Legend. Yeah.
Hey,
you know, Del Marsh used to call himself a legend in his own shower.
He was.
You know,
in his own shower.
He was, yeah. But is it Michael, too, maybe? I don't know.
Pete, I think some of that applies. I think it still applies. but with... Greg, the mix of blacks and blues that were caught in our area this season. What's your take on the, you know, how many and were there any tags? And then for Michael, has anyone ever caught a wahoo on a fly rod?
I'll go ahead and start with the blues and blacks there. You know, Bob, I think a lot of the marlin were mis-ID'd as black marlin. I think the majority of what was caught was blue marlin. I think I only know of one fish that my buddy Rich Palace caught up there out of Newport that I think was almost 100% for sure a black.
We posted one on our Facebook page that was caught, I think, in Oceanside.
Yeah.
It was definitely a black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there was some fish, though, that were misidentified. The majority of what I saw, I think we had... We had 4 all total that we caught this year.
That you saw.
Yeah, you know, the biggest one, 430 pounds, and the smallest one was around 100 and a half.
Yeah.
Everything that we saw was blue marlin.
Was blue.
But I know that there are blacks around, and there were some blacks caught. So, there were a bunch of fish tagged. I mean, we did take the one big fish this year that came up brown, but everything else we released, and I know that there were a number of fish tagged. There might have even been an archival tag put in a fish. At least that's what I heard, so... That's kind of my take on that.
From what I have seen, the black marlin that I have seen, and pretty much all down at like on the long range trips and such like that, it's pretty tough not to identify it as a black marlin.
They look distinctly different.
Distinctly different.
And even a blue marlin. There were so many guys that put pictures up this year that had striped marlin that said, oh, it's a blue marlin.
Yeah.
Well, you just look at the lower jaw. If they got that big, long lower jaw that's kind of curved down, that's not a blue marlin. That's a striped marlin.
It's a striped marlin.
But the blue marlin that we caught, there was absolutely no doubt, 100%, they're just a different looking fish.
Yeah.
They fight different. They look different. They're a different color, different shape.
So identify the difference between a blue marlin and a striped marlin. What are the identifying characteristics?
The main thing, Pete, that we noticed is the size of the dorsal fin
yeah.
and the shape of the lower jaw. If they have a little short lower jaw and they have a dorsal fin that's less than 3/4 of the width of the fish, in other words, the width from top to bottom, if they have a dorsal fin that looks small in proportion to the fish, and if the color is more...
So you mean the verticalness of the
vertical height of the dorsal fin.
The
striped marlin's got a dorsal fin almost as tall as the rest of the width of the body.
Uh-huh.
And they got a real long lower jaw that's 3/4 the length of the upper, and it curves down. A blue marlin's got a real short lower jaw. They got a thicker, shorter profile. They've got a much shorter dorsal fin. And the whole fish is generally, I'm going to say, kind of more greenish-brown looking.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show the...
Not bluish.
Not silvery bluish. They have stripes, just like a striped marlin. But they just look different. It's like a smallmouth and a largemouth bass. I look at them, instantly can tell the difference.
That picture,
and a black marlin has the pectoral fins that protrude straight out and don't move.
That's right. Their pectoral fins are rigid. They're fixed. And it's a different looking fish than a blue.
And the fish is black looking.
They're black looking on the back. They're grayish silver on the bottom. They had a real thick bill, real short dorsal fin, and then the second dorsal fin and the anal fin have a different offset to them than what a blue marlin does. So that's another sure way to tell. But they are a different looking critter, 100%.
All right, Wahoo on the fly.
Wahoo, yes, on the fly. Bob, we do. And there's a lot more people out there that are a lot more expert. I'm not. I ran into them by happenstance. And the first time I saw a Wahoo, which turned out to be 35, 37 pounds, was down in Mexico. I have no idea, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And my thing was, I knew it was running on the surface. It was chasing bait. And I thought, how do you do this? So I had made a decision because nobody was there to tell me any different. I just wanted to set my drag so it wouldn't overrun itself. And number two, then I figured I've got to tuck my rod underneath my arm and strip double-handed as fast as I can. Well, all of a sudden, this guy chases it down. And, of course, I mean, he hits my fly at light speed. And I just, all I could figure out is what can I figure out. So I pointed the rod tip right at the line. I followed the line with my rod tip all the way till he was engaged, let him make that one initial run, and then that was it. So, but there's guys out there who are chasing some big wahoos. Again, mine was just luck, and I got lucky on bringing him in. So,
all right.
That's
hey,
awesome.
Bob.
What a cool story.
Get well. Okay, we understand. We know who you are. You had a hip replacement, right?
He's going to do it Monday.
I'm going in for one.
Oh, you're going in for one. I've done it. Piece of cake.
Monday.
Yeah.
You did it too, didn't you, Pete?
I did. I had my left hip done like 5 years ago, and I'll tell you what, it changes your life.
Every person I've ever heard that has had that operation all said the same thing.
Yep.
I can't believe I waited this long. It was the best thing I've ever done, and
now they just
awesome.
Have to pat you down at security, that's all.
All right.
Or you light up a little bit.
Hey, Bob.
Thanks for your thoughts.
Hey, Bob, I've got to tell you that when I mentioned your name to Pete and Greg, they said, you mean he could have been on instead of you, Michael? They wanted you hands down.
Not even close, Michael. I'm not even close to being a legend.
Good luck with the surgery,
luck,
Bob. Thanks a lot.
Better
call this morning. That does free up 858-457-1090. Open right now.
Roger in Fullerton, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Roger.
Good morning, Roger.
So, what about Wahoo for the new boat owner, the new name for the boat owner, Wahoo?
Oh, there you go.
From walking on water to the Sierras reminds me, in 61, I was 16, I drove up the Whitney Portal and climbed Mount Whitney with my buddy a long time ago.
61,
great
wow.
area up there.
Right. Awesome.
My question's for Ricky. Last week you mentioned a belt for, or a harness for the impaired bicep. What was that? Was that harness for?
It is in the Max Force line, and Greg is going to do a much better job describing it than I. But it's the Max Force 2, and the caller last week was talking about he's got some upper body issues and not necessarily fighting a 300-pound tuna, but need something to help support the rod and reel, not fight, you know, medium-sized tackle, but just need some assistance. And that was the first thing that came to my mind. But, Greg, I know you could mention that the merits of that far better than I could.
Yeah, the MaxForce 2 harness is most guys would call it a shoulder harness, so it does fit over your shoulders, so you're pulling more from your upper back than your lower back. It is a great tool for anybody that's got any kind of upper body strength issues or any kind of impairment. I know we've actually sold a lot of these things to and given a lot of them to the Wounded Warrior Group, the guys that have different kinds of impairments on their upper limbs. And the nice thing about ours is you can adjust the pressure to pull either more from the lower back or from the upper back, depending on
really?
Where your strength lays.
How do you do that?
Well, the straps have adjustments top and bottom. So if you adjust the tension on the lower straps tighter, then it puts more of the load on the area on your lower back. If you adjust the straps on the top to be tighter, then you're doing more of the pulling from the area over your shoulders. So it really allows you to distribute the load. And if you combine that MaxForce 2 shoulder harness with our spin strap, which is a little nylon strap with two D-rings on it that goes around the foregrip of the rod, either on a spinning rod, go around the foregrip. On a conventional rod, you put it just behind the reel. But this then allows you to have the rod and rest the rod off your shoulders without having to use your upper arms at all, very little other than just to wind.
I really like the harness, and I sell it to a lot of people whose wives or girlfriends are maybe just getting into the sport and are just learning their technique. This really helps that for, you know, somebody who maybe hasn't pulled on fish for a whole long time. And, you know, pulling on a fish is all about being comfortable, and it's learning how to keep a bend in the rod and keep yourself comfortable while you're doing it. And this is a really great assistance to that, to somebody that doesn't have a ton of arm strength or just hasn't done it a bunch, because you can do exactly that. You can rest it, and they can kind of take a break and just worry about turning the handle, not worrying about keeping a bend in the rod with their forearms. It's awesome for somebody that's younger or, like you say, just doesn't have a ton of strength.
I'm not understanding the D-ring, what you're talking about there. Explain that to me.
The spin strap, what we call the spin strap, it's a little, it's about a 10-inch long piece of nylon, 1-inch nylon webbing. Okay, it's got a ring at each end.
Right.
You wrap that around your foregrip of the rod.
Okay.
So now you have the two D-rings sticking up, say, on a spinning rod.
Okay.
Then you take the shoulder harness where you have the clip-ins, where you have the two snaps that would normally snap into the lugs of the reel. You snap those into the ends of the spin
strap. So whether it's a conventional or a spinning rod.
Correct. Normally on a conventional reel of size, you've got lugs. You've got the two harness lugs on top of the reel where you can clip in. But on some of the smaller reels, you don't have that.
You don't have it,
So you can use the spin strap behind the reel.
Gotcha.
The geometry's not perfect, but it'll really help you to be able to pull on that fish and not have to use just pure bicep strength to reef on the rod.
And what kind of a belt do you use? Or do you use a belt at all?
Generally with that, guys would use one of our smaller belts, like the Alejos belt, or even the Socorro belt, or the new belt that we've got, the Arena, which is just now coming out, which is a $60 price point, nice little aluminum belt for spinning or for conventional.
I mean, think about how big a fish you can take with your Talica 12, your Talica 16. Right. I mean, that's a reel that has significant power, but it doesn't have harness lugs. The spin strap allows you to use the harness while using a reel that doesn't have harness lugs.
Can you use the spin strap with a MaxForce 1?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. Okay. You can. But generally, the geometry is better. The pulling angle is better if
with
you use a shoulder-style harness.
Which is
with the spin strap.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, you know, spinning gear, I'm thinking lighter conventional gear, you're really better off pulling up higher than you are down lower.
Okay.
You don't need the kinds of leverage that it takes when you have the MaxForce 1, which is more of a sit-in, kidney, kind of low pull angle style of harness.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. Let's jump right back into the phones. This time talking to Brian. He's calling us from Claremont. Hey, Brian. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to find out, and you can answer. I'll just ask the question. I didn't hear the Gundy report today. I'm just wondering how
Gundy reports tomorrow. So you're going to just have to tune in tomorrow for Gundy.
Okay. I just wondered, have you guys heard anything about the shore, anything going on the shore?
It's good fishing.
I know it looked flat this morning coming down.
Yeah.
Little surf.
You know, the water's cooled down on the inshore quite a bit. So things are in transition. But typically, I mean, you'll still be able to catch, I mean, still in mid-60s.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to catch Corbina in the mid-60s, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to find out, if the Corbina were still going on.
I mean, there's still halibut, and absolutely. I mean, there's even guys that catch stripers in the surf, right, Mike?
Well, yeah, Jim Solomon, I caught one the other day. Jim Solomon caught one the other day, and they were running down in South Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the guys down there, in fact, there's a great group of people down there, Jim Solomon, Al Q, John Whitaker is down there, and they're on a boat probably listening to us laughing now. But anyway, so, yeah, just incoming tide, and, you know, look for structure in the water. And I don't do it that often, but I do it with those guys periodically to keep my education up, and they make me catch fish. But that's all you need to do, and you'll have a blast.
There you go.
When,
great time of year to be doing that.
It is. Yeah, I like this transition.
When we get into the fall and winter times, it seems like, and I can't necessarily speak for surf fishing, but I think it reigns true for all fishing in this time of year. Consistency in weather is a huge thing. You know, we have weather fluctuates a lot more often in the wintertime than it does in the summertime, and you want to look for little consistencies in the weather. When the weather is somewhat stable and stays the same for a couple of days, those are always the days that fish seems to get on a bite pattern. You know, they don't maybe bite necessarily as good when it's changing one way or the other, but when you have that consistent weather, like we've had for the last several days, it blew early in the week, and we had 3 or 4 days of nice weather. That's when that stable condition that fish usually settles in and is a little more willing to bite.
There it is. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got way more Let's Talk Hookup coming for you. And a big block of your phone calls, a great opportunity to get through. It's been a very busy morning. If you want to get your shot, a great time right now at 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
At Dawson & Associates Insurance Services, we recommend travel insurance for your next trip. Plans include trip cost cancellation, emergency medical evacuation, and medical expenses. For the frequent traveler going at least 100 miles from home, we have an annual plan, including foreign and domestic travel that insures every trip you make for an entire year for only $267. We guarantee the lowest prices on all our travel insurance products. Call Bob or Christy at 619-460-5615, or to view prices or apply online, visit safariglobaltravel.com. That's safariglobaltravel.com.
Everyone likes special treatment, you know, kind of feel like a VIP. Well, that's how our listeners are treated at Poway Valley Collision. I have personally heard of several stories of how well our friends Jim and Mary take care of their customers that we sent them. Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them today, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And listen to this. Our listeners get a special discount that can save you hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. Just tell them you listen to the show and you get the deal. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. Just bring your car or truck to them and let Poway Valley Collision do the rest. I have had my truck repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. Tell them you listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and they'll save you money on your repair. Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
It's time to talk about great product from Power Pro. And I'll tell you what, Max Quattro. Saw it at Fisherman's Landing Tackle yesterday.
Sure.
If you have not tried Max Quattro for casting, especially on a Tranks, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Cast
smaller diameter, 25% smaller diameter.
It casts phenomenal. You're right there. Where I really like it is right now. It's, well, maybe not right now because the fishing is so good there, but your Guadalupe-style fish, the bluefin that we had this year, any big fish scenario on a small reel. Talica 10 is my favorite reel on the planet, but it's a fairly small reel for taking big fish. Max Quattro is a line that gives you the strength of the original Power Pro in a skinnier size. So where I normally would fish 65, but I really wanted the capacity to 50, now you get the best of both worlds. You load that reel with a 65-pound Max Quattro, you're getting more line on the reel than you would have if you were fishing 50 pounds.
Exactly. So check it out, Power Pro Max Quattro at your favorite tackle store.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Come join fly fishing superstar Conway Bowman for two very special and very limited Fish and Mission Fly Fishing Edition at Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay. This is your chance to get on the water instruction from Conway on a new Hobie Pro Angler 14, even if you have never touched a fly rod. This is a great opportunity to learn from one of the best. Two sessions, Saturday, November 21st and Saturday, December 12th, each limited to just 10 anglers. So call Fast Lane now to reserve your spot. 619-222-0766. When it comes to Hobie Kayaks, no one does it better than Fast Lane Kayaks at Dana Landing, across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check FastLaneSailing.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Again, if you want to get in on the fun, have your questions answered by these two great sources of information, and have your shot at winning that great AFCO Socorro belt with the AFCO Max Force Harness, 858-457-1090. That's our local number. Or we do have a toll-free line open. That one's 877-792-1090.
All right, well, I want to draw your attention once again to our website, hookup1090.com. Our Dr. Blum, Dr. Bob Blum, wrote a great story on being a IGFA observer in Aruba for a ladies' fishing team. He wrote a little story, threw a little picture up there. Check it out on our website, hookup1090.com. And also on our website, you can check out our sale. It ends on Monday. So if you want to take advantage of $20 off any order of $75 or more, plus you get free shipping, it's on our website, hookup1090.com. Go to our shop page, $20 off using the code hook20. You'll see the code right on the shop page, and $20 off any order, $75 or more. You can get those flying fish lures, which are really, really cool. You can get the Let's Talk Hookup AFCO performance shirts, the AFCO travel shirts, which I travel with all the time.
Oh, yeah, those are popular.
Let's Talk Hookup embroidered logo on there. Those travel shirts, once you start wearing them, they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, that material is really nice stuff.
Yeah, it's something that's stayed in the line year after year,
yes,
because they're so popular.
Yeah, you
right?
can wad that thing up, put it in your luggage, and wear it the next day, and you look fine.
It is amazing. If
you're a lame bachelor like me that laundry isn't exactly your strong suit, you can fold that thing up, fire it in the duffel bag, shake it two times. I'm good to go, man.
AFCO shorts with our Let's Talk Hookup embroidery on there. So check it out. It's all on our shop page, hookup1090.com. Go to the shop page, $20 off. Use the code HOOK20 at checkout, and you'll get $20 off an order of $75 or more, plus free shipping. Also want to bring your attention to our Facebook page, like we talked about earlier. You can see Rick's new boat with the Wahoo on there. And then earlier in the week, I was in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't on the show last Sunday. They have a new nonstop flight out of Los Angeles on Alaska Airlines, one of our partners here on the show, that goes not only to San Jose, Costa Rica, but also to Liberia, Costa Rica, which is really an awesome place because literally you're 30 minutes from the beach when you land in Liberia. It's a nonstop flight. It's five and a half hours from on Alaska Airlines, and they have some really great fares too. But we stayed at a beautiful resort, the Hyatt Andaz on the Papagayo Peninsula, and I got to visit the Marina Papagayo, which is kind of a new marina in that area, and just a beautiful, beautiful zone. And the Costa Rican people are just so great, and the country's so beautiful.
Beautiful down there.
It's just fantastic. So check that out. That's on our Facebook page, hookup1090.com. Go to the top right. You'll see a link right to our Facebook page, and just friend us on Facebook and check it out. And I'll talk more about that Marina Papagayo and the opportunities that I saw for future fishing in that area tomorrow. Cool. On Let's Talk Hookup. So tune in tomorrow, and we'll discuss Costa Rica.
I got to have you go rewind for just a second. The first thing you said was Bob Blum was in Aruba judging a woman's fishing team?
He was an IGFA certified observer.
How do we get that gig, dude? Are you kidding me? Are you sign me up for that? Marlin fishing in Aruba.
Well, Ricky, you got to get the, you got to find out what's going on out there.
Sign me up, man. That sounds, I'm good for that duty. No problem. A little wintertime thaw out in Aruba on a all-woman's fishing team. I'm in, man. No problem.
Read the story. It's on our website, right on the front page. Check it out.
Sounds pretty darn good. Well, hey, the phones are definitely packed up. Everybody wants to talk to these guys. How about we jump back in and talk to Doug, who's calling us from Montebello this morning. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm going to change my question here. Suppose you get tangled up with a gill net on an anchor. Is there legality as far as getting it off, or can you just cut it off?
That's a really good question. I mean, I guess if you got your anchor gear caught up in a gill net, you'd do your best just to get out of it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be tangled up with that gear and have it anywhere near my wheels or anything like that, but... as far as the legalities of it and everything, I have no clue.
But
I mean, in general, if I get tangled up with any commercial gear, I'm respectful of them like I'd be respectful of anybody else. I would try to get out of that gear and move on my way, whether it's a lobster trap or a gill net or whatever. That's somebody else's gear that's trying to make a living, and even though we might not agree with the method.
And it's expensive.
I'm going to do my best to stay out of their way.
Yeah. Very well said.
The other thing, too, if you ensnarl something and you leave it to fall down to the bottom, that's going to be fishing forever.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
That's one of the big rubs on gill nets. They're fishing whether they lose that gear or not. Same as a purse seine that's snagged on a rock.
Right.
That thing fishes forever, and it's self-propagating because every time it gets fish in it, more fish are attracted.
And that's why we don't need them in Southern California.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about we jump right back in and talk to Brad calling us from Rancho Penasquitos. Hey, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi,
Good
Brad.
Morning.
Good morning, Brad.
A previous caller called in and raised the question of a Wahoo on fly rod. And Bruce Smith, owner operator of the Fortune, formerly of the Shogun, has a great YouTube videos of a lot of different species: marlin, Wahoo, and Clipperton. It's very exciting, and I'll just give your listeners a heads up on that.
Yeah, I've discussed that with Bruce, and I've been fishing with Bruce before, and Bruce was talking about fishing Clipperton and other places when he was running the Shogun and catching Wahoo on the fly.
He's a heck of a fisherman,
He's
that guy.
An amazing fisherman.
He had a giant cutthroat at Pyramid a couple days ago.
Yeah. Oh,
giant.
I've been to Pyramid with him.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
I got to talk to you.
He is amazing. Yeah, he's really good at that.
I know he is.
Yeah,
core.
He's really,
he's
really
very core.
Good at it. But that is, no. Fishing at Pyramid is core.
That's what I'm
it's
saying.
Hardcore.
Yeah,
especially
core.
In the winter.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. Hey, thanks a lot for that tip. Appreciate that. I believe his website is but if you just Google Bruce Smith and Wahoo
or Fortune.
Yeah, I bet if you did Fortune Sport Fishing,
yeah,
I bet that would take you right to it.
Com, that'll take you.
You'd find it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. Let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Don. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to thank all the people at AFCO for the great gear that they make. My favorite short now when I come home from work is to throw on a pair of your board shorts, a nice AFCO t-shirt, and I'm just relaxed for the rest of the day.
Thanks for that, Don. We appreciate it. It's good to know that people like wearing the product and we appreciate the comment. Thank you.
It's even my go out and work in the backyard shorts. So they hang on and just take any kind of abuse I can give them.
Yeah, definitely. It's when you have a year like this. I think I started wearing shorts back in March or April, and I finally put a pair of long pants on here a couple of days ago. But
no,
otherwise it was
so.
It was straight AFCO stealth shorts and board shorts all year long.
Oh yeah.
Don definitely does bring up a good point, and like you said, with the new kind of high modern fabrics, the shorts are not the cheapest things in the world. But when you buy a pair of AFCO shorts, they last so long, and there are definitely similar shorts by similar people because we sell a lot of different things in the tackle store, and you see things that come and go, and some of the very lightweight, nice to wear materials, sure, they're great when you first put them on, but if you're spending $70 on a pair of board shorts, they need to last you. And that's the thing about those AFCO shorts. They all do that.
They are built for durability, and we know that our customer is a guy that's going to wear that stuff and wear it hard, and he wants good value out of it. He's going to pay that kind of dough for a short. That thing's got to last many, many seasons. And, I mean, even my stealth shorts that I've worn since day one, they got a lot of squid ink on them, but other than that, they're still very wearable.
What does Greg Stotesbury wear? You can wear anything that AFCO has. What do you like?
Okay, my favorite combination that I'm wearing pretty much week in and week out now, like when I'm on the boat, especially through this marlin season, I like the Stingray four-way stretch shorts.
Those are great. Love
those. I
wear
the Stingrays, and I wear a Samurai non-hood. Okay, so the Samurai. I wear one of our masks. Okay, which I love. I love those things. Wear them all the time. And then one of our new, you know, 5-panel or 6-panel, you know, baseball trucker style hats. But for me, the Stingray, that is the short.
That's the short.
Yeah.
What about when you're going out casual and go have a cocktail with some friends or something like that?
I like the Stealth shorts.
Yeah.
Stealth shorts, a nicer kind of a hybrid short. It's not really a board short. It's got a lot of pockets. It's got belt loops and all that. But that is it's a sharp looking short. I mean, you can wear that thing to the club meetings. I can wear it going out down by the harbor, whatever. I'm wearing that with our M50 leather sandals and maybe one of our travel shirts. I wear that travel shirt all the time.
Gee, me too.
I've got 6 of them in the closet. Yeah. I rotate through those things.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most comfortable shirt. I think Michael would even like them.
We get him out of that Oxford.
You can iron them, too,
does
Michael.
It come in my size?
Absolutely.
Because
I love
their products, but I always worry that, you know, maybe I'm a little too big. But
you would look good in an AFCO travel shirt.
No, I've got...
We can get you out of that Oxford shirt here anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of T-shirts going on around the table, one knot.
Hey, thanks
a lot
for the call this morning. Appreciate that.
Hey, let's jump right back into them. Charlie and Gardena, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning, Rick. I was wondering if you could talk about the technique for the wahoo that you've been catching and, you know, maybe the jigs. And do you set the hook, keep winding? How do you do it?
Well, we've had our best success trolling big straight pull type lures. You know, I know that the most traditional wahoo lure out there is a Marauder for sure. And I know probably more fish than not have been taken on Marauders this year, but I don't know what it is about us, but we get bit much better on big straight-pulled lures. So I like big jet heads and those big catchy tackle spinners. That's definitely been the favorite for us. We've had 18 bites this year, and of the 18 bites, only one has been on a Marauder. So I know that they get bit very well, but I think part of Marauder fishing, too, is a lot like a good surface iron, and it's very important that lure tracks extremely straight. And you know, they definitely can be tuned, which is, I think, something that some people don't do. If that thing is, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's shooting across the wake, but if that thing is kind of digging on its side, like a swim bait that's rigged incorrectly, eventually will it get a bite? Yes. But if it's rigged straight and it's swimming right, it's going to get bit way more often than not. And so I most of our bites have been on big jet heads and those big catchy tackle lures. I fish a double hook, you know, hook set that we make up in the shop. I like big hooks, you know, 9-0s and 10-0s. We troll pretty fast, 10.5 knots, you know, not miles per hour, but 10.5 knots. And we leave the boat in gear for quite a while when we hook a fish. So, you know, we'll let 50 or 100 yards of line come off of the reel before we even slow it down. We never pull the boat out of gear with a wahoo. They change directions a lot. They like to go sideways. And if you have them on relatively heavy gear and you just keep the boat at an idle speed or maybe just a tick above idle, when those things change direction, the boat keeps the hook into them.
And you never stop turning the handle,
ever.
Right?
Yeah, don't pump the rod either. You know, it's a fish. You don't really want to worry about your rod belt too much. You know, don't dip your rod to them. Just turn the handle, keep it in high gear, grind them to the boat, and put a gaff in them and throw them on board.
How about if you wire up a Marauder? Do you go straight to the Marauder, or do you put a snap ring in there?
I think either of the two certainly works just fine. I like to go right to the lure. I think that the loop is a little tighter, and I think that it probably runs a teeny bit better. But, you know, we have made up and sold thousands of the Marauder harness using a McMahon-style scissor snap, and that's how virtually every fish gets caught on a long-range boat. So I think that those work absolutely fine. If I had my druthers, though, I like to wire it right to the lure.
All right, there you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You know, Greg, talking about catching fish, catching fish, especially like a wahoo. One of the things that a lot of the captains talk about, and I know Mike last Sunday when I was on my way to Los Angeles to get on the plane, was talking about was keeping. A lot of fish get lost with guys trying to put the rod in the rod belt,
mm-hmm.
And I know you guys make rod belts, but let's talk about that. When is the right time to get that rod butt in the rod belt?
Not as soon as the angler starts whining. I'll just tell you that. Because I see it so often. They're whining about the rod belt, and they're afraid they're going to get hurt. And I just tell them, put the rod under your arm and turn the handle. Just worry about keeping the line tight until everything is settled. And, I mean, I personally, for most of my kinds of fishing, I'm not real big on putting a rod belt on unless I absolutely have to. If like, I'm really pulling hard using a harness, obviously I have a rod belt. But the right time is not immediately.
Right.
It's after the fish settles. And I keep the boating gear a lot, Rick. That dope you just gave on the wahoo fishing, I mean, that's awesome dope right there. It's all great stuff. And I am a big proponent of keeping my boat in gear. We fought that big blue marlin. I never took the boat out of
never
gear.
Never took the boat out of
never
gear.
Took it out of gear. I kept that fish in the lead the whole time, kept him right off the port quarter in the back of the stern,
yeah,
and just led the fish the whole time. We dictated. He didn't dictate.
Yeah.
And so with the rod belt, to answer the question, put it on when everything is settled, the boat's in gear, the fish is settled down and pulling. Don't put it on as soon as the angler starts whining for the belt.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is they'll whine for the belt. You go to put it on them. They'll be paying more attention to putting the belt
yes.
on, and they quit turning the handle, and the fish goes away.
And the fish goes away.
Seen it 100 times.
Yeah. And you're not going to hurt yourself by not having the rod.
No, breathe through your nose, put the
yes.
rod, put the butt underneath your arm, and turn the handle.
You want to be paying attention to the tip of the rod, not
yes.
the butt section.
Yeah.
And if you're watching the tip the whole time, you're going to know that there's a bend in the rod. You're never going to put slack in the line. But I mean, you just think about it. If you look instead of looking out at the end of the rod, if you're looking down at the at your rod belt and you're trying to find the you're trying to find the gimbal and you're trying to look it on, you're worried about the wrong end. You're not the tip is doing whatever it's doing, and if that fish is coming at you, the rod goes slack, the hook is loose, especially on a fish like a wahoo where it's a hard bony mouth, they'll fall out. But it's that way with anything.
Any fish.
Yeah, one of my pet peeves.
Oh,
the whining for the rod belt.
Oh yeah.
If you
yeah.
do that on our boat, you're going to get some abuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you deserve abuse.
Yeah.
You don't need the rod belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Just
wait.
Shut up and whine.
Shut up and whine.
I might even add a couple of other words in
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Turn the handle.
SDFU
keep
you and what, turn the handle.
What about in fly fishing? Really, one of the things that you see a lot in fly fishing is guys working to get the fish on the reel. Talk about that, because a lot of fish get lost in that time when guys are trying
sure.
to get the, because the same thing holds true, is it?
Right.
The line goes slack and you lose the fish.
You do, and it's really funny watching, and I'm not saying this happens all the time, but for instance, we get a lot of trout fishermen going out saltwater for the first time, and let's say they're not chasing bonefish, they're chasing small tarpon, 50, 60 pounds, whatever. And the first thing they do is, we try to tell them what the mouth is like. We say it's a brickyard, and you're going to reset and reset and reset. I don't care how many times you're going to reset, a dozen times, 20 times. You're just until all of a sudden. But the first thing they do is they want to lift up like a trout. And I always like to say, that's not the kind of bend we're looking for, because basically we're trying to put a bend in the butt section and keep the rod tip so we don't snap a tip also. And it's a particular way of fighting a fish. But the slack, people don't watch their line. And so all of a sudden you see that dip, and you're trying to tell people you need to take in that line. Well, if you've got a tarpon, although it's not a super fast fish by any stretch, and he's turning for you versus away, people can't reel enough. And I've told people periodically, if they were accomplished, strip in the line. Get off the reel. Just strip it, strip it, strip it. And then when he turns, let it go out smoothly. But people don't watch the tension. It's the number one problem, where to put the bend in the rod and watching the slack. The slack, it'll just blow out in a heartbeat. I mean, more tarpon come out, they toss a fish, which you guys are all used to seeing. I mean, we all see it. It happens with tarpon. But people don't understand how sensitive that slack issue is with a fly rod. It just...
It's everything.
It is.
So why do fly fishermen bow to the king? So when a tarpon jumps...
All you're trying to do is, when historically the fish gets closer, and whether they see a boat or not, they really don't care, and they're in the air. What you're trying to do is, there's that fine line between when that line is going to part company. The hook may remain in, which nobody wants, of course, but you bow to throw a little extra slack. When he comes down, it'll just give it like a little bit of shock absorber.
You're worried about snapping the line.
Yeah,
basically.
If you keep him tied all the way up to the boat almost all the time, you're going to lose him. So there's this little fine line. So when you're bowing, you're throwing, 2, 3, 4 feet of line out, 25, 30 feet. Some people will bow 100 feet out. Now, maybe they can do it, but I can't throw 4 to 6 feet of line through 100 feet of surface water.
So that's more so when the fish gets close.
That's it, and you want it, and there's that fine line. If you give him too much...
He
goes away. But if he comes down tight, there's more even chance that he may just snap that line, because that line is also starting to get worn at that time.
Yeah, and you're using basically nothing more than 20-pound.
That's the max. That's what we use max. Some of still use 16, some 20. That's it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right.
That's very cool. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself a brand new AFTCO Socorro belt and the Max Force harness. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
I'm very excited to share my experience with the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 touchscreen chart plotter and sonar unit I just installed on my boat. I've been a Simrad Electronics fan for many years and always enjoyed the ease of use and incredible technology. Last year, I installed the new 4G broadband radar and could not believe the difference. So this year, I upgraded to the new NSS Evo 2, and it's amazing. With an easy-to-use tablet-style interface that's fresh but familiar, the Simrad NSS Evo 2 combines a multi-touch screen with push-to-select rotary dial for precision control and speedy response. The core of any marine electronics for me is how it marks fish, and the new NSS Evo 2 with built-in sonar hub sounder technology, including chirp and structure scan, can't be beat. Now, the true test is whether I need to pick up the manual to figure it out. And guess what? The new Simrad gear is so easy, I didn't need it. There is a lot more to the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 system I'd like to tell you, but best to just go to your local Simrad dealer and check it out. Or see simrad-yachting.com for more details.
My angler H2Oath. Like the mighty flounder, I will keep one eye on the pole and the other watching for rogue waves. I'll save water by taking shorter showers and enthusiastically celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day. I will chat up the locals before launching in unfamiliar waters. And I will always, always wear my life jacket.
What's your H2Oath? Tell us at VoteCalifornia.com. The California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways reminds you to wear it, California.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com. No matter the fishing conditions, count on the Seaguar family of fluorocarbon leader material to help you catch more fish. Fluoro Premier has a smaller diameter with the highest break strength. Plus, it is super soft. When bites are tough, tie on Fluoro Premier. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And new Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions, giving you a little more visibility for better line control. Pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Right, the big winner of the AFTCO Socorro belt and Max Force harness is going to Bob in Newport. Hey, Bob, congratulations. You're going to love that new AFTCO gear.
Michael drew it out, and Bob was the winner. So,
Clark, happy hip replacement.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Indeed. And, Michael, thank you for coming. Of course, is the book still in publication? You wrote a fly casting book.
You know, I don't know, but I see it periodically, and it's, you know, people seem to like it on little, you know, they put it in their back pocket. It's bulletproof and whatever, but, you know.
And what's the name of it? Do you remember?
Well, Gary LaFontaine and Michael Maloney, Fly Casting. It's a little pocket guide. But anyway, just use your common sense with fly fishing. Fly casting is nothing but common sense. Seriously.
Yes, it is.
It's easy.
Thanks
cool.
for coming in.
That's
appreciate
fun,
that.
You.
And Greg
Thank
Stokesbury
you.
From AFTCO, of course. It's never enough time to talk about all the great AFTCO products and all the great fishing that you two do out there on the water, Greg.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it. Always enjoy being on the show. And thanks to you, Ricky and Michael. It's
Thank you.
Fun. It's
yeah.
great.
Somebody wants AFTCO products?
www.afco.com.
Yeah, easy.
That's the way to do it. You can find a dealer on there and go get anything you need.
You bet. And we want to thank you and Bill and the whole AFCO team for such great support of Let's Talk Hookup and all the good things you do for fishermen out there. And good luck tomorrow when you're testifying for the PFMC. I know you're doing the right thing for recreational anglers.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And one more thing, congratulations to you and Vivian.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Life
yeah,
together, awesome. For sure. And thank you for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Rick Jensen from Sport Fishing Financial will be here along with Jim Holden from Friends of Rollo. We're going to be talking about all kinds kinds of things here on the show tomorrow morning. It's going to be an interesting one, so you want to tune in 7 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, right back here on the Mighty 1090.